Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Am I right in saying that two of the girls out of Game of Thrones have both been Sarah Connor in the TV series is the Queen,
Cersei. Yeah, she was in the
TV. And Daenerys is in Genesis.
That's right.
What happens if they meet? Does the Terminator world fall apart?
No, it's not Time Cop. That's the Time Cop world where two the same person can't exist in the same space and then because they'd explode or die or something like that. Spoilers for Time Cop. So we've got a question to kick us off this week on the Red Men. We'll go for a slight rerun of Red Men. Let's go to Red Men Radio. Because why not? Who would win in a fight?
It's not radio.
But it's not TV either.
It could be Red Men TV radio.
You could listen to it on your radio. There's a question. I've totally lost who's asked me this question. I will find it in a second. Who's winning a fight, Flano or Orton Go? No DQ. I want your answer to this, and then we're going to move on to something slightly more expansive.
Flano.
It's Flano all day long, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's almost to the point where I really feel like if you've taken the time to ask the question to
I can't believe you probably went through loads of Liverpool players and settled with Ngo to give him a good matchup when that's not the case at
all. This is exactly the point.
Whoever you are, you don't deserve to be named.
Yeah, I'm going to find
for such a silly question.
Apologies, Joshua.
No, not at all. Don't apologise for me, Paul.
It wouldn't be the first time, it won't be the last time. Joshua, thanks for your question, but you could have done much better. And in fact, I have, Chris.
There we go. So I'm the one who was being mean, but I'm the one who didn't take the question and go, that's a rich shit, I'm going to change. That's what
you get credit for opening something up in my head. And it was, if you took some of the bigger named belts from wrestling history and put them on the various members of Liverpool's current squad, who would hold certain belts? So let's start with the one that I always think and always will be the best of the belts.
Okay.
And it's the Intercontinental.
Damn straight, it's the Intercontinental title.
So what for Intercontinental, when you think of Intercontinental champions?
Bret Hart. HBK.
Okay.
Them. And that's why I've gone for Markovic. Because you got long hair.
Oh my god.
You never saw that one coming, did you?
No, not at all. I didn't. We've come at this from different angles, I feel.
He's the perfect shape for an Intercontinental champion.
He's not. And let me explain why.
He is. He's an up-and-comer.
No, but he's
definitely... He's up-and-comer,
he's 100% not an up-and-comer, first and foremost. He's 100% not an up-and-comer. But yeah, the Intercontinental is very much the one of the man who would be king. So it's like, you know, the Ultimate Warrior had it. And as you said, The Rock had it first, and Triple H had it, and Bret Hart had it, all on the way to becoming world champion.
I think they all did.
And in that regard, well, Hulk Hogan was never Intercontinental champion.
If you just go Trent...
I'm not going Trent. No. Sadio.
Okay.
Sadio Mane, I think he'll be world title holder by the end of the season.
Okay.
But right now, I think he's too good to be Intercontinental champion. But that's why the Intercontinental belt is amazing. No shit people, like Mr. Perfect had the Intercontinental. No shit wrestlers ever have the Intercontinental. I mean, they do.
Yeah, listen, I think Markovic like is a Markovic. Better shout because I think he just looks more like an Intercontinental champion than anybody else.
I think he looks more like a cruiserweight / light heavyweight. He's more of a Billy Kidman, if I'm perfectly honestly.
I could understand the light heavyweight, but it's not on there.
Cruiserweight.
Is that the light heavyweight?
Light heavyweight. Yeah, cruiserweight, light heavyweight, the same thing.
Okay.
So who have you got for cruiserweight?
I have gone for Emre Can.
No, he's too big and heavy to be a cruiserweight.
Not in my eyes.
Rey Mysterio is a cruiserweight.
Then, hang on a minute.
So I've gone for Trent for cruiserweight because I feel like he'd be a high flyer.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair. I mean, Robertson maybe for cruiserweight then as well, because I'd like to think that he could do some mad tricks with the ropes and stuff.
Yeah,
Robertson like jumping off.
I reckon Moreno could do an amazing 619.
Exactly, but Moreno's earmarked somewhere else.
Start. Okay, who are your tag champions?
Solanke and Origi. Do you know those tag teams that don't want to be tag teams and they end up being tag teams? Like, they end up in a title match and then they hate each other, but then they somehow find a way to work together.
Wouldn't a better one be Sturridge and Origi?
No.
Why not?
He's never fit.
true. I think the logic of that is absolutely sound. So I thought about this and I thought, like, in years gone by, you had like the Skirtle Andy Carroll kind of thing, you know. We had like the Bash Brothers thing going on for a bit with Skirtle and probably Lovren for a bit. I had a bit of that going on, but I'm not sure we really have that at the moment. So I've gone similar to you, like the X-Pac and Kane route, which in recent wrestling, I know you don't watch it, I don't particularly watch it, but you had Enzo and Big Cass. Now Enzo is this little gobby weird looking thing and Big Cass is 7 foot tall. Mm-hmm. So I've gone for Moreno and Matip.
Okay, in that regard,
because I just think they'd be able to do like mad tricks where like Matip is the equivalent of like setting up a ladder, you know. Moreno could probably do like a finisher off his shoulders or something like
doing
that.
Doing like some kind of a drop kick through Matip's legs.
Absolutely,
that'd be a great finisher.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll call it the through the legs drop kick.
Yeah. Okay. Catchy, sweet. Eh? So the big question then: Who's the world heavyweight champion?
Steven Gerrard.
Now, bear in mind that he's not a current member of the Liverpool squad.
Absolutely.
It's just a legacy thing. It's like bringing Hogan back in or The Rock back in for...
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, cool.
He's there, you know what I mean? He's behind the scenes. He's working every day at Liverpool. So just like when the HBK or Triple H or anything like that becomes world title, when they're retired and stuff, I think I looked around the squad, Paul, and I was disappointed. And I didn't think there was anyone ready for that title, if I'm quite honest.
Yeah.
And as such, Stevie steps back into the void, takes the title off all comers in probably a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Because why not? Because he'd still beat them all.
And he walks out victorious.
Absolutely amazing.
He's last the full length. Yeah, I can get behind.
There's no one better. There's literally no one better.
There is. It's a real struggle to think.
It was
of
that
anyone.
Or Milner. Did you want me giving the world title to Milner? No. So it went with Stevie.
It would be, yeah, because you couldn't even give it to Coutinho, could you? Not at the minute.
Who did you go for?
I had a real big hole in that. That's why I wanted to know yours first. If I'm perfectly honest, I'm prepared to concede that you've got the best answer to that question.
And that's the only title that matters.
Absolutely.
I win.
Hardcore.
Moreno, mate.
I like the idea of him being a bit like what was Bob Holly's little fella? He was another Holly, wasn't he? Yeah, Crash Holly. And he had that thing where he had to defend the hardcore title 24 hours a day. I think he'd be good. I think Moreno would be good.
Also, there's a high chance of him becoming injured, and that's not that bad, I think.
Holy shit. You know who might be good for it that we've forgotten about? Sacco.
Sacco could be a very good shout, actually.
Indeed.
I had my two were Moreno and Flano.
Do you know who 100%? Oh, Flano. To go back to the question.
And I think he'd be one of those wrestlers who just wears a pair of Levi 501s. And that's it.
Do you think he'd be popping around?
Maybe a vest.
A full trackie that Flano.
That would be quality with his Munich hat.
Yeah, I'll do this. I'm 100%, yeah. Okay, Flano can have the hardcore title. I'm just saying, James Milner, all day long, is the European champion. The shittest of the belts.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He's the most boring, least prestigious of the former.
Matter, does it, let's be honest. Nobody cares about the European.
The belt that existed just to make the British Bulldog feel good about himself.
And what was the other one after him who somehow managed to stay in wrestling for 30 years or whatever?
William Regal.
Yeah, what was that about?
Yeah, he's massive, him.
It doesn't surprise me, Paul.
Yeah.
He's shit.
Yeah, he's very highly respected wrestler, even though he never fit. He always looked weird, didn't he? He's very Stephen Regal, William Regal, whatever his name is these days. He runs, there's a British version of it now. Anyway, it's not a wrestling podcast as much as I'd love it to be. One thing that you highlighted, so we periodically, more often now when we go out in public, someone will stop and take him over photo, and it's great. You're not a big fan. I think it's great.
I win about everything, Paul.
It's true. Not everything.
99%
Yeah, I do. But some, we went to Anfield and a number of people kind of stopped us throughout the day and stuff. And I said, that's amazing. Please don't be afraid. If you want to, please, by all means, come and say hello to us. But some fella, some Aussie fella. Yeah, do you want to tell do you want to tell the story of this?
Well, it seems I remember it. It's probably exactly. The best.
I completely forgotten about
it. So we were just walking around the club store, weren't we? And some fella goes, "Hi, it's you from the Red Men. I've come over from Australia." We had a little bit of a chat with him. It was cool and that. He's like, "I'll get a photo with you." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." Like, and expecting him to stand in the middle and take a selfie like everybody does. And he just went, "Move together." And we stood next to each other and he walked back 5 yards and just snapped the picture of us. And we were like, "Do you want to be in it?" He's like, "Nah. Nah. What the fuck would I want to be in a photo with you two, knobheads?"
Is it that I felt a bit cheap?
You know, used.
Yeah, pulse. Exactly. Somehow I don't mind if it's a selfie, but I feel a bit like.
Yeah,
it's a bit like it's a bit. Is that a bit weird? Is that
I
a bit
thought
kinky?
It was really strange, like
yeah, because like I don't. Did even in the world before selfies were really a thing, did people do that?
I don't know.
I did have passed the phone to someone and asked them to take a photo while you stood next to them, absolutely, like a posed photo. But I don't think if I saw Steven Gerrard in the street, I'd have been like, or Robbie Fowler, go just stand there a second, Robbie, or. As it would have been back in the day.
But here's the thing when it comes to it. Where'd you post him? Because, all right, he was an older gentleman. So what was he, maybe 50s, something like that. Mm. Maybe he's of the age where he prints off photos and puts them in frames still.
Wow, but even so?
And if that's the case...
That's even weirder.
That's fucking strange, isn't it, mate?
We're just going to find our heads photoshopped onto things.
Is he going to tag himself in his Instagram picture?
Maybe it's his like lock screen or something, like, you know.
It's weird.
Because maybe if it fits better, he wants a full screen. Weird. It was very, very weird. So we're going to get in the bin. We're going to answer a load of your questions in a little bit as well. Just worth reminding to people who are listening to this podcast. Obviously, this is the one of now two free podcasts that we do every single week. And so if you're on iTunes or Acast or Stitcher, etc.
All of them, I think.
Wow. That's all important information that I didn't know. I will definitely remember to say that next week. Podbean. There's a
ton. Do you know what? Someone got in touch with me on Wayan. WAYN. Do you remember that? I think it's one of the original like social media. I think it was the Irish. You don't even remember it. I think I'm right in saying it was one of the, yeah, WAYN. I think it was one of like the original social medias. And someone asked me to connect with them on Wayan. And I was like, wow, that's a blast from the past before Facebook. Like,
wow.
I didn't. Sorry if you're listening.
Get on MySpace and
still on MySpace.
Meebo or something was it called?
Bebo, maybe. Bebo. That was the Irish. Bebo. The Irish. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, by all means, connect with Chris on Wayan. Sure. I'd never heard of that. That's worth a Google, which I won't do it now. And I'll probably forget.
It probably wasn't even a social media thing. It was probably something else.
Yeah. It was just another version of LinkedIn, another social media platform that people bang on about that's a bit of shit that no one really uses. Yes. So obviously we've got two free podcasts that come out now every week that you can get, which is now the build-up as well to every match. And then we do this as well. This will be changing slightly in a couple of weeks, but more to follow on that. But if you want loads more Liverpool podcasts, we do loads more Liverpool podcasts. In fact, there's in the region now, I think, of 5 exclusive ones on the website as well. In addition to this, so if you want more audio-based Liverpool content, you can do the RedmenTV.com. It's £5 a month. You get all those podcasts. That's, again, in the region of a minimum, I think, of around 20 podcasts a month, in addition to the free ones as
not
well.
Not just me and you every time, is it?
No. Transfers.
That's a shame. You said it like it was a bad thing.
And you said, I felt like you teed that up for me. It's like someone just bolted something underarm to me. I'm swinging for the fences, Chris. You know what I mean? It's like, no. I was just passing it to you. It's like, oh, sorry. That's a long way away now. I've hit that. That's gone. So there's loads of that stuff. And obviously, we do all the video stuff as well. But if podcasting is your thing, this is your bag, then go over to the website and check that out because it's very, very good. The website is looking sexual at the moment. But not in that weird way of having two grown men pose for a photograph for you. So, Chris, okay?
Yeah, great, cool. Yeah.
Shall we talk a little bit of Liverpool news?
I think it's probably about time, to be quite frank.
It's probably about time. So we'll talk about the Coutinho climb down. And what's really annoying is since I wrote this agenda, loads of websites have started titling things the Coutinho climb down. I thought it was dead clever. I'm only as clever as everyone else, just a little bit quicker. So what we've seen, obviously, is that on the Sunday, Barcelona had set this this time frame, this ultimatum of by 7 o'clock, if Liverpool don't accept their Coutinho bid, then that's it. You've had enough. We're getting off. Which, as a number of people have phrased this in many hilarious ways, is kind of like asking a girl out. She says no, and you say, well, listen, you fucking get back in touch with me about this by 7 o'clock, or it's over between us. And to which she just got on with her life. So Barcelona, by all accounts, have ended the interest in Coutinho.
Good.
Liverpool believe the matter closed, and to be honest, by all accounts, have considered the matter closed for a number of weeks now.
Good.
What started to kind of seep out, though, in the aftermath of this, and this was there was a Brazilian Twitter account. It's called like Brazilian Selecao.
Yeah, it's the one that always seems to get the stories of South Americans.
So it's like in the Brazilian press, it's starting to come out now that Coutinho happy to play for Liverpool, happy to be a Liverpool player, and the stance that he took was being pushed upon him by his representatives, effectively. Now, I think our inner cynics would have us believe that this, I mean, ultimately they've got to do, this stuff has to start coming out now, doesn't it? Because they've got to start smoothing the relationship over between Coutinho and the fans, if nothing else.
Yeah, and quite honestly, between the club and Coutinho, I think you know, if a guy's refusing to play, where does that stand the player when he refuses to play, and how does he get paid? Ultimately, I think, you know, this guy, Phil Coutinho, is making, could have made a lot of people very, very rich this summer. One of those people being Liverpool Football Club, and the other being his representatives and stuff like that. I think it's absolutely a load of fucking bullshit, to be honest. I think the way that these agents and reps of players are able to dictate what happens in football clubs is mental, because they're not football people.
Yeah.
They're just rinsing players, and they're rinsing football clubs, and they're taking money out of football, out of grassroots football as well. And this is all, it's a load of shit, to be perfectly honest. And I think that, you know, something needs to be done about how much money is leaving the game, because going back to that Hoffenheim deal with Roberto Firmino, I know we were on the other end of it, but like, I think they received like £5 million of 30. Now that's ridiculous.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, and there was a big thing that broke, it was probably about 6 to 8 months ago, about just how little money Hoffenheim got out of that deal. Wow. And you're thinking to yourself, where does this money go? And it all goes to these agents and these reps and stuff, and they're always in their players' ears that you've got to do this, and that now's the time. And then you've got Barcelona feeding into Phil Coutinho going, it's this summer or it's never, you know what I mean? And it's never like that with Barcelona either. We saw with Luis Suarez, it was this summer, and then it wasn't, it was the summer later and stuff. Now, from a Liverpool fans' perspective, which is where I come at ultimately, it's, I hate it when Liverpool players don't want to be at Liverpool and they don't want to play for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Now, the cynic would say, well, he's saying this because he needs to play for the World Cup for Brazil, and he needs to think. But you've got to look back at what he's done over the last few years, and that is every single time he's taken to the field, he's given his all for Liverpool. Yeah. So he's got some credit in the bank for me.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to forgive him this, but he's got to go out there and prove on the pitch that he deserves to be back in that team. He's got to fucking stand up naked in front of the squad and apologise to them all. There's things that he's got to do. I want him singing a song. I want him doing something to apologise, you know what I mean?
I think this is the thing, is that I my immediate reaction is I'm just not as wound up by it all as I think some people are. And I think some of that comes with a little bit of age and a little bit of experience. I think to some extent I don't get as wound up by that players wanting to leave and players moving as much, mainly because I've come a bit jaded to it as much as anything else. When you've seen it happen a few times, it doesn't have the same impact. And again, it's hard to get wound up by a fella who's 10 years younger than you, who earns millions and millions and millions of pounds doing something and not being fully committed to things. I don't have an affinity with Phil Coutinho the same way that I had with like a Robbie Fowler or whatever. So I look at it and I think kind of fair enough, but I think there is, part of me does think there's a degree of going, because this is the way, there's an acceptance of this is the way football is. Now, I think there's a side discussion, and hopefully we'll get round to this, about how this might change a little bit. And I think that what you've got with his representatives in particular is you don't need to be an experienced football agent to know what the protocol is in that situation of a big club wants you, you sell it, the club, his home club doesn't want to sell him. What do you do? Well, you just make a bit of a dickhead of yourself and you say you're injured and you feel, it's like there's like a
precedent set.
Exactly. There's like a fucking guidebook that you can get off the internet that tells you how to do this. You don't need to be a super agent to know the protocol for this. So, you know, and because it is such an established, well-trodden path that I almost like, it's like he's played the game and it's not worked. And it's, although he's going to be a bit sheepish and hold his hand up, you kind of go, listen,
mate,
you know,
I've played the game on a much smaller level. I've done it with Sky Bills in the past where people say to you, go and say exactly this and you'll get your bill for free. I've gone inside it and it hasn't fucking worked. And then you're like, what do you want to do, lad? I'm at the cancellation stage. Let me just have a think about it. I'll phone you right back. Yeah. Bye.
Oh, no.
Fuck's sake. Oh,
who are these people who phone up and get the fucking Sky Dead cheap? Because it's not me. I'm not that kind of person. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. I want to get that soft touch that all the fucking your extended family always seem to end up
exactly.
with. A, not the hard nosed fucking jobs worth. Yeah, no, exactly. So this is why I can kind of part of me. I can go. Oh well, it doesn't bother me. I'll welcome Coutinho back. But all this being said, there is a part of me that I'm doing that, and I'm seeing people as some people's reaction to stuff, and I've said this in the past in the last couple of weeks. I feel like I'm being a bit, maybe at times I'm being tainted by seeing comments online and whatever. But at other times I'm thinking, well, maybe it's a way of, it's giving me a fresh perspective on things. And I do think, why am I making excuses for Phil Coutinho? Mm. You know, because whether he's a fucking grown man, he's made his bed. Now I know it's ultimately down to what it looks like, regardless of what the manager wants or the player wants. You know, the ownership have made a decision, and I agree with the decision perfectly, honestly, to keep Coutinho no matter what. But I do wonder why I don't think it's right to give him a free pass in some regards, because there's got to be something more.
Listen, he can come back in and he can play football for Liverpool, and I'll happily support him.
Yeah,
but you know what, when he takes that shirt off and isn't playing football, I won't give a shit about him. I'll kind of forget about him.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's really pissed me off more than anything with it, is going back and seeing those articles being reposted from, I think it was The Echo in May or March, where he spoke about how he wanted to be a club legend at Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then it's at that point that I start thinking, you're a lying little shit, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you clearly didn't. Because as soon as another offer comes along, you're jumping out of bed and straight in with them.
Yeah.
And that's not right. And now we are seeing you for what you are, essentially. And it's difficult because I will never take an opinion of somebody without knowing the full ins and outs of the story. And I think you'll never know those full ins and outs, but you'll be dead to me nonetheless.
I wonder,
unless you're playing well.
Because I've seen people saying, how will Liverpool react and stuff, and how will the fans react? And I think, well, it's interesting. We won't know. I don't think he's not going to get booed. I don't think, you know what I mean? I don't think Anfield will boo. I don't think the away fans will boo Coutinho. You'd probably find they'll either come out with an amazing show of support for him, like sing his song the second he walks out onto the pitch to let him know, fuck it, mate, you're here now, we love you, fucking blah, blah, blah. Or you just won't, you know, people just won't buy a shirt and you won't see his name sung until he does something to prove, you know, he'll stick one in the top bin and that'll be all forgiven. The thing about the Coutinho stuff, here's the thing, like, it came to me as you were saying this about, like, you know, his opinion. I don't think he was lying as such, but there's a great line. It's a stand up, and I think it's from Chris Rock, and he says, "A man is only as faithful as his options." And he basically, and it's this notion of and it's the Coutinho fucking loves Liverpool. Liverpool are the perfect club for him. He doesn't want another club. He'd happily spend the rest of his career with Liverpool, and then Barcelona just come over and flash the wares, and he's like, fuck, I can have that.
I wasn't looking, but now I am. Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, and that's the thing of it for me, is that it's not the same as, like, it's not the same as Suarez touting himself to Arsenal. It's more like, it's just that, and if he was touting himself to a City or a whatever, I would be more angry with that. But Barcelona still do exist for me, rightly or wrongly, they're in a little bubble, aren't they? And they're own at the top of football.
Not now.
No, yeah, I agree. I think with Liverpool, how they've handled this could help to change this a little bit. But that's only something that, if that started to be tarnished, it's only something that's happened over the course of this Coutinho stuff, really, isn't it? No one's going into the transfer window thinking Barcelona are anything less than an amazing football club that they want to play for, if you get what I mean. So I get what I'm saying. Is I understand him having his head turned, and I'm less arsed because it's Barcelona. But hopefully, if nothing else, because what it means is that the way we've handled this is players will think twice in a general sense about the impact, how big Barcelona are, but also people should hopefully think twice about how big Liverpool are perceived as well.
Yeah, maybe so. And listen, we've talked about this a couple of times, only briefly in fairness, so maybe we can get back into it. But look, Liverpool have taken a stance this summer, look, like some of the other clubs around Europe, RB Leipzig being a perfect example, Southampton being a perfect example, all these type of clubs taking stands against player power, because ultimately that's what's wrong with the game right now. Mm. And, you know, having players who can just force through moves isn't good. Like we spoke about it on one of the subscriber shows about Riyad Mahrez and how he put a transfer request and he's just not fucking kicking up a stink. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's a right way and a wrong way of dealing with these type of scenarios and these situations. And Phil Coutinho's gone about this all the wrong way, because ultimately thought, I'll get out of here and I'll never have to look back over my shoulder. And it doesn't work like that in life. And he is a young kid and he is being pressured and stuff, but he has to make his own decisions at the end of the day. And he has to live and die by the sword from these decisions as well. And I think now maybe he'll change how he treats other people, other employers, other employees, if it ever gets to that as well. Because you don't want to be treated the way Phil Coutinho's treated us.
Yeah.
And equally, Liverpool have taken a hard line stance with him, and he'll learn his fucking lesson, quite frankly. They've got the ruler out and they've smacked his bottom pole.
completely. And like I say, how Liverpool handle themselves, if Liverpool could only get another piece of transfer business or two completed before the window, which, you know, the likelihood of which it's not, we don't know, ultimately. It's great. I think that it'll be under it. It shouldn't be underestimated, I think, how important it is that the way Liverpool have handled this, and it should be considered a win. Although people might think of that as being a bit fucking mediocre or whatever, but being able to hold on to a player in the face of that kind of pressure, I think, is an important thing. But unfortunately, given the climate around the club, around the transfer window, I don't think we'll be able to see this for what it is for maybe a year or maybe at all, because if we don't have a bit more success in terms of bringing players in, that's going to look like another one of those PR. It's been done for PR more than it's been done for, you know, for the benefit of the football club or whatever.
Yeah, you could question that, whether it is PR or not, and I'm sure people will question whether it's PR. But quite honestly, from my opinion, for what it's worth, they've had to take a stand, and they have taken a stand, and you know they need to get better at bringing players in.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mm-hmm. You know, just as well as and just being able to deal with that and being able to deal with the transfer market in the way that it is now, and just how Liverpool go about the business as well. Yeah. Because Liverpool, for me, it stands for more than a football team. It stands for like a way of doing business and a way of trying to win and stuff. Like, you know, we've spoken many times over the years about how we'd get if we were to win the Premier League with the way that FSG have gone about it would taste all the more sweet, wouldn't it, for not having to spend millions and millions of pounds and win it in the way that Chelsea or Man City have. But you know, ultimately that Liverpool is starting to not exist anymore because of the way that we're playing hardball with other teams. Now, I don't want to see Liverpool play the games the way they've played with Virgil van Dijk. I'd like them to just go about the business and being held in a high regard, like the fans have been held in a high regard for so many years. And, you know, it's all being tainted across all levels of the football club, and it's shit, to be quite honest with
you. That's it. And I think just on that point about the, how the other approaches to kind of doing it, you know, I think we've tried to do it that way a bit this summer. You know, we've obviously gone with big cash to try and make things happen, and maybe that would have been the answer. I understand, again, kind of people's frustrations, because if you looked, the way of the old school Liverpool way of doing that, of not buying stars but making stars, it worked in the 70s and 80s, but it's not worked for the best part of 30 years. So, you know, I can get why people want us to change. It's hard, I guess it feels an easier switch, I guess, probably for a few younger fans or whatever, because it's so blindingly obvious, whereas maybe it just does clinging on a little bit to the past a little bit.
Hey, look, I think that is the case, because, you know, I fell in love with Liverpool at a time in my life which was the 80s, you know, and, you know, I'm 34 now, and you're the same and stuff, and
but I'll be 34 the rest of this year.
Yeah, fuck you, mate. Fuck you very much. But you do, you cling on to these things, don't you? And I don't want to see. I want to see that Liverpool. I want to see the Liverpool that went and managed to make stars, not buy stars. I want to see the Liverpool that won league titles when I was a kid. I wanted to see the Liverpool that was consistently challenging even through the 90s for trophies and for the league title and stuff like that. Now, that we're far removed from that time, but it doesn't mean that I can't hark back and hope that we can get back there, and even though football's changed, in my opinion, for the worse.
Exactly. And let's be honest, though. I don't think we're a million. I think it still exists within the realms of possibility that it could work that way. It would help to have the squad bolstered by a couple of, at least one more quality player, two would be perfect. I think the Coutinho thing in particular. And this is why, again, I think holding on to him, and we have to kind of, we'll just have to deal with the climb down one way or the other, is that he is about to become that. You know, we paid £8 million for the lad. We've effectively turned down £80 million for him, which would have been the most we've sold a player for, you know, which is, and it's a ludicrous amount of money, made slightly less ludicrous by the amount of ludicrous money that have been spent in other places this window. But if Phil Coutinho, this could be his season. This could be the season where he genuinely becomes world class, and we talked about the Intercontinental to the World title kind of thing. Both Coutinho and Mane are full on boss Intercontinental champions in waiting to have. You know, this
one's
could
be a heel, though.
Well, yeah, exactly. But it could be like The Rock and Austin. You know what I mean? Coming up at the same time. You know, you touch lucky, and these things come to the boil at the right time. And that's the thing with a couple of those players. I could see Sadio Mane being a world star by the end of the season. I could see Coutinho being a genuine world star by the end of the season, and then below that, we could have a couple of guys who were there in a supporting role a tier below. And that, if that's the case, if they do both, because if Coutinho and Mane improve on last season, they're better players more consistently this year. You don't need too much more than that, I think, to be a really top challenging team.
No, you're
anyway.
Right. I question you on something, and maybe I'll give my thoughts afterwards, but I imagine you'll think exactly the same as me. FSG's failings with regard to transfers are in as much as not finding the replacement for the guys that they expect to sell than anything else.
Yeah, completely.
We've had Phil Coutinho for 5 years.
Yeah.
Our nearest replacement to Phil Coutinho, I would say, is 8 years younger than him.
Yeah.
And 17 years old. Now, you can moan about all the transfers you want who Liverpool haven't signed this summer, but the fact of the matter for me is, if the plan is to develop and sell on, we should already have that guy ready to come into the squad now.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the only, maybe the Coutinho thing's not quite right, but only because you could argue that we've signed his replacement in Salah from last season to some extent. But you're right, in terms of what I completely agree. And if we're talking about Ben Woodburn is the next, it's, as we've said already,
it's too much of a gap.
Exactly, yeah, you know, you're right. There should be a 22, 23-year-old lad who's ready to, you know, or a 20-year-old lad who's ready in the middle gap between them. Absolutely, completely agree with that. And that's the thing about it, isn't it? As we said, too often we sell a guy and then start looking for the replacements.
Well, they're the failings, Suarez.
Yeah.
You know, you can think of all the big players that Liverpool have sold under FSG. We've not had that replacement in. So for all the marquee signings that we haven't signed, they're not even doing what they said they were going to fucking do.
Look, Steven Gerrard, mate, and this is not just a failing of FSG. This has just been Liverpool Liverpool haven't effectively replaced their best players since the 80s.
Yeah.
And Graeme Souness started the progression of shitness in that regard.
Yeah. He had a fucking terrible job, by the way.
Yeah, oh, completely.
He gets so much.
It's Kenny. It's
Kenny aged that squad. Exactly. Whatever you think, and I love Kenny.
It's Kenny Dalglish's fault, in inverted commas, because effectively he left him a really old, an old squad to deal with. But he then, the way in which he did it was. That was completely wrong.
Nothing to do with Kenny.
But this is exactly the thing. And now there are a couple of examples where we've got it right. So we effectively replaced Torres with Suarez. So we got a better player in that regard. But they're still not great. Again, we replaced Robbie Fowler with Nicholas Anelka, but on loan.
Yeah.
And then decided not to take that loan.
Don't want him anymore.
Signed El Hadji Diouf instead.
Why?
Exactly.
Why?
Stupidity.
Fucking idiots.
The World Cup. They were by players at the World Cup.
Before the World Cup, though, that's what the thing was, wasn't it? We actually thought we got a decent player there. Little did we know, we had a little spitter.
Stupid.
Anyway,
stupid.
Here's another thing, and this has been boiling for a while, and maybe now's not the right time to be bringing this up. But I think, you know, when I'm talking about FSG and stuff, and you know, you're seeing those comments, and you're seeing everything in and around the football club and on social media and stuff. It really is starting to grate me that we've not broken the record that, you know, we've sold players for yet. Now, it shouldn't really, but, like, we got 50 million for Fernando Torres how many years ago, and we've still not broken that record.
Torres.
Yeah.
Suarez was, like, 70 million.
Yeah, but we've still not even broken 50 for a transfer in, mate.
Oh, sorry, I'm with you. We're not buying players for more money than we're selling. I get you, yeah.
And take it back to the model. I understand that the model is you bring them in cheap and you buy that, but yeah. We seem to have blown that model out the water, yet we're still signing players for cheaper than what we're receiving.
Yeah, but that's...
Players like 70 million for Suarez, yeah. 50 million for Torres, yeah. 50 million for Raheem Sterling.
Yeah.
Where's the investment?
Yeah, well, again, you look at the it's supposed to be that money plus whatever you have anyway, isn't it? Which is where the big issue is.
This is what I'm saying, we've had that money for years. I'm not talking about something that happened last summer,
yeah.
And yet the squad is still short.
Yeah, and again,
and
no,
that goes
no,
back to that development no, you're, plan. You're absolutely. Right.
And like, I get it because the point is, you would never do that if your plan is to build up. Increase the value, sell on, you would never ever go and then reinvest that money back into something, someone of the same price, because what's the point? You just keep the player.
But by now, with that legacy money, as it were, our squad should be a lot bigger and a lot better.
Yeah.
Because that should have, that 50 million from Torres was what year?
2011,
12?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, the Suarez money was two, three years ago. The Raheem Sterling money was a couple of years ago. By now, with those funds, whether you break the transfer record or not, we're supposed to have a good squad of young players coming up, and that money was never really invested in the right areas to make the squad good now.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see, because again, it's one of those things, that it's like that well-known, the well-worn phrase of like, changing managers doesn't help in those things, because every new manager... every new manager comes in and decides, like, let's use Joe Allen as an example of it, you know, if he was a foot taller... We wouldn't have needed to sell John, and we'd have another quality midfielder to have in there, etc. That's where our shortcomings have been. Is just that I think we've done all right, but again, the problem we've got is that ripping up and starting again. Is that Jurgen Klopp's looked at all the players that Brendan Rodgers loved and went, why are they all little weeds? Why are they all dead slow and they can't take a kick? No, I want big, strong, fast lads, and then I'll work out the other stuff around it. And that's where we've fallen down. Is that yeah, we've just binned a load of small, useless to Jurgen Klopp players off, haven't you? But I do agree. I think it would be, and this is where the problem with it is that the point is, if we just manage, if we just, I get any normal transfer window, in inverted commas, gotten Van Dijk and Keita across the line, mm-hmm. You've gone and broken your transfer records, both in and out, twice. And you've gone and done that thing, exactly saying the thing that we've not done, and we've gone and done it for a change, and then all of a sudden it's not worked. And again, so you can't, there can be no credit handed out for trying and failing. That's the big problem of where it lies. But it would be lovely to get to a situation. I still don't think it's outside the realms, because I think, again, we were going to do that this summer, is we've now got a good crop of kids who are now we've got a group of a couple or two or three who are able to impact the first team on a pretty regular basis. There's then another two or three who are probably able to just do it from the fringes, and then there's probably another crop beneath that ready to then start following a line of progression, provided you keep the manager in place. What you then do, a la Barcelona, is then, because you've got...
You plug your gaps.
Exactly, you plug your gaps with just amazing, really expensive footballers. And maybe ultimately that is why we haven't got so-called backup plans, because it's almost like, what's the fucking point of buying another fucking guy? What's the point of buying £240 million fucking guys when I don't need £240 million guys? I need £180 million.
The point right now is, and again, I have mentioned this on a show before, the point right now is we're in a really competitive league, and everybody else has started pretty well. And, you know, it's going to be a struggle just getting back in that top four. We need to solidify that top four, because if you want to go out and buy those £70-80 million players, you need to be playing the Champions League. And there's no guarantees with this squad, and there's no guarantees with the signings anyway that you get in the Champions League, but you've got a better chance with better players.
The only thing I think it is that it's just that he, look at, people can complain, people say the signings that Spurs made last summer were shit, you know, with the exception of Wanyama, who's obviously great, but, you know, let's use Vincent Janssen as an example. Now, he's not good enough. Now, he looked okay, he spent good money on him, but let's say however many games he was able to play, let's say it was only 10, you know, he was there, he was an able body that fell in there. Now, he didn't come close to lacing Harry Kane's boots, and in any way she performed, did he replace what he was actually doing on the pitch? But he was there on the pitch, able to go out there. And it's just a case of, have we got enough of those guys? And I what I think it falls down on is, as we've seen, at the minute, we've got Mamadou Sakho and Lazar Markovic, who are international calibre forward or players, I should say,
both who were not holders as well.
Yeah, both belt holders. But who we aren't capable of selling. you know what I mean? Which is crazy, because why has no one bought Sakho? And surely someone would have had a punt on Markovic, and even Moreno as well. These are all decent level footballers, not good enough to be nailed on first team Liverpool players in Klopp's eyes. And again, Klavan, another example of it. I'm sure we could do better than Ragnar Klavan, but who's buying Ragnar Klavan off yet? And he's probably got a 3-year contract. You're better off just fucking, you know what I mean? I think that's ultimately where, and that's the tricky balance. And that's why it's hard for me to get totally wound up one way or the other, because, as with anything, I can kind of see both sides of it. And inevitably, the emotional side of me just thinks, there's clearly £140 million there that you were going to spend on Keita.
Just spend it,
make us all feel good. But it boils down to it. It doesn't help all this, like Klopp mentioned the boss's thing, and now we're starting to question how much control he has over things. I think to some extent people see things, want to read between the lines and see things. We did this last week, didn't we? I think people can make more of things than they are, but we just have to go with the fact that if Jürgen says, if there's one manager I trust when he says, I'd rather work with the younger lads, I don't see it as like a Rafa Benitez being told to focus on coaching and managing his players.
That's a fair point. Like, and I will always back Klopp and stuff, but ultimately I must admit I am disappointed when you look at the plan for FSG and what we've got in the squad versus what we've brought in. It does feel like even the plan's not being enacted properly.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know whether there was ever backup plans or whatever. It does seem crazy to go into the window with 3 or 4. We probably had 5 targets, and we've got 2 of them.
Plus Solanke.
It does seem very, very odd. So we'll obviously have to see how this develops, and be interested to see what happens with Coutinho. I'm sure Steve will be doing some of this on the Reds transfer roundup.
Good luck betting that, Steve.
Yeah, so Steve has got Melissa Reddy from Goal.com and James Pearce on that show this week. That'll be available as a podcast on the RedmenTV.com on Wednesday, late Wednesday afternoon, possibly Wednesday evening. So do go to RedmenTV.com and get that if you want their thoughts on the Coutinho stuff and beyond. Get in the bin this week, Chris. You got a suggestion for that?
Yeah, the transfer window.
The transfer window can get in the bin.
Is definitely one of the ones, and Manchester United.
Manchester United just can get in the bin.
Yeah, just absolutely. Just put them in the bin.
Yeah, I don't think there's any sense in expanding on that. I don't know. You could have a really good explanation for that, but it's unnecessary.
Okay. I had like a 2-minute diet. It's fine as long as it's in the bin.
Get Man United in the bin. So we asked you for questions on Twitter. I promised we were going to mix the podcast up, and then we never did. We've changed the table around. Matt Wells, our good friend Matt Wilson, who does listen to the podcast.
Huddersfield Fan TV.
Huddersfield Fan TV's own Matt Wells. Is Wagner better than Klopp?
No.
No, of course he's not.
Nice question.
But thanks
though.
Very much for your question. Although, you know, they're flying 2 wins out of 2.
Hey, look, that's, you know what?
And pushing Man United all the way.
Hey, listen, that's what the conversation in the WhatsApp group was saying. Like, but yeah, all right, Matt. Whatever.
Yeah. Podcasting couch. What's your favourite Subway sub? Your answer will determine my future support of your pod.
I used to work in Subway, so there's a lot of pressure on me right now.
One day, we'll do a pod dedicated to the shit jobs we've done in the past.
Okay.
And your podcast story of Subway will be very interesting.
So first of all, it's a foot long, right in there, no messing around. I actually prefer the wheat bread to any of the others, or hearty Italian. I think Italian herbs and cheese is massively overrated, lads. Mm-hmm. If you just try it on its own, it tastes a little bit like feet. Here's where I, having worked there and understanding Subway very, very well, they all taste the fucking same, bud. Yeah. By the time you've thrown 11 fucking salads and Southwest sauce and sweet onion and ranch onto it, they all taste exactly the same. But if you had to pin me down, it's the Italian BMT, or it's the spicy Italian. So you've got 2 ham, 3 pepperoni, 3 salami on the Italian BMT, or you've got 6 salami, 6 pepperoni. I always prefer the microwave, not toasted, with cheese and extra. If you ask for extra cheese, very often if there's a queue of Subway sandwich artists, they'll forget to pass the extra cheese on. You just get the cheese for free come the end of the sandwich. So always go extra cheese, because you're always going to win more than you lose on that. So you may as well do that. Microwave, I prefer, is what they used to do. Is original Subways will remember that they just used to have microwaves and they didn't have those MediChef toasters. They're a bit shit. Your bread goes a bit hard after like a little drive home. 5 minutes, your bread's just toasted really hard and it's not very good. The microwave stuff's well better. I also, I think then it's lettuce, it's tomato, it's cucumber. It's only a few green peppers. Everybody always goes over the top on green peppers. They're not that good. They're unripened peppers. Green peppers aren't peppers that you should be having on a salad. You should be having yellow. So if you're going to have green peppers, just have a few of them, of course. You've got to get gherkins. Ask for extra gherkins. They're amazing. Ask for extra jalapenos, obviously. Don't put a fucking olive anywhere near me sandwich, you weirdo. Then it's 3 lines of Southwest sauce. It's 2 lines of ranch in between the Southwest sauce, and it's 1 line of sweet onion straight over the top. Don't forget to ask them for pepper as well, because they never pepper the sandwiches. If they've got chili flakes, some Subways have chili flakes, or put some chili flakes on there. Make sure they wrap it properly. There's a real problem running through Subway now where they're just not good enough and they're just a bit blasé with the wrap. The wrap's important, because you don't want to get out and have this massive sandwich that essentially just falls apart on first bite. So if you see a sandwich artist and you're confident enough that you know exactly what you want, then tell them to make sure that's wrapped up. It's a bad boy. And if they don't end it with "and that's a wrap" when they've wrapped the sandwich up, they're doing something wrong.
Yes! Wow, Nish. You asked and you received. Italian BMT, honey oats. green peppers, tomato, lettuce, jalapenos, Southwest on all, and honey mustard on half. Now, here's the thing. The honey mustard on half...
Ah, this goes wrong.
Baffles idiots.
Yeah, they just put it on... The
one
top bar.
Effectively one side of me. Fuck, I've done it before. I did one in London the other week when I was down at Ball Street, and I was like, and honey mustard on half. And I was like, you know when you can just tell someone's going to get it wrong because you can tell someone's a moron? And this girl, but I've had it on one side. This girl put it in like the middle third on one side though. So like it couldn't have been any...
Hey, that's not half.
That was the most wrong it was. It was like 33% of me butty, dead centre. And I was like, and she looked up like, what am I doing wrong? And I'm like...
Don't worry, love.
Why? Think about what I'm saying to you. I know I've gone off script here. Meatball marinara. Mm. And the reason why footlong, apart from the fact that I'm a greedy bastard, is too often if you get a half that's already been cut, it's a smaller.
Yeah.
It's small,
not 6 inches.
You know, it's under 6 inches.
They've got a real problem with that as well, actually. Yeah. You know, quite often a lot of Subways basically don't rise the bread long enough, and it doesn't make it 12 inches to begin with. And I've had sandwiches that are like 3 inches, and I'm just like, that's not 6 inches, mate. You know what I mean? Do you want me to whip this out and show you, bud?
just give us a second.
But you tell you what, if you ever go into town and you're dressed as a mime for some reason and you're in character all night, Subway's the place to go, because you can point at what you want.
Absolutely.
Whereas try ordering a pizza with a Hawaiian as a mime. Mm-hmm.
Or,
I mean?
Or a mute. So Jay Lambrew says, "What if Subway want to sponsor the podcast?" By the way,
yeah, they remember me working for them, Paul.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. There's so many of your Subway stories that are genuinely amazing. One day we're just going to do the Chris Pajak podcast, and it's just me picking your brain.
It was going to be a book, but I'm too lazy to write.
Yeah. If anyone wants the ghostwrite,
what was it going to be called? It was like fast.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Copyright. If anyone wants the ghostwrite, the story of Chris's life, please do get in touch. Who do you want to make the LFC kit after the current contract with New Balance expires? My choice would be Nike, but what do you guys think? And he's put solely aesthetically based question.
I always used to like that. I forget the name of the brand, if I'm honest, but it was always one of those mid-90s ones. It wasn't the Cox, but I'm sure you'll remember the name of these brands.
Pony.
No.
They made some belter kits in that very brief
maybe
window.
Was it like Palmer used to have them or something like that? I can't remember the name of it.
Let's see. Palmer had Umbro for a while, and they had... maybe not Palmer. I don't know. Lotto, maybe?
Lotto. I used to love Lotto for some reason. I always just...
AC Milan had Lotto kits in the
90s. Yeah, I really liked them. And it was always so foreign and unachievable for Liverpool to get a brand like that. I kind of just would like something like that.
Yeah, I must admit, I would never want Kappa to make Liverpool's kit, but those Man City ones for a brief spell were pretty nice. To be honest, Adidas all day. I fucking can't stand Nike. I just can't stand it. It's just that I don't mind a lot of the clothes, and I don't mind a lot of the trainees and stuff like that. They're not necessarily for me, but they do nice stuff. But it's the kits. There's just no imagination in Nike kits at all. The man, and you can say the same about it. That's just fucking three stripes all over the place, isn't it? But the good thing about getting Adidas is that means we get some good Liverpool tracky tops out of it. Yeah. I've got a few from the last spell. I've got two, in fact, like a red one and a navy blue and white one that are just fit. There's really nice tracky tops, and I don't. Yeah, it'd be nice to have that back. But other than that, I kind of like New Balance, if I'm honest, and because they remind me of Reebok in that they're quite understated. They do a few mad ones, but but they do some interesting and some different kits to what we've had in the past. But they're also a brand that not everyone's got. Because what I can't stand and what I hated about the last Adidas run was when our kit is just a rebadged version of something else.
Unless you want to like the top tier clubs in Europe, in which case they'll do a design for you. Other than that, you're just getting a copy and paste Photoshop.
Exactly. And the worst one of that was was 2009, I think it was the away, the third kit, which was black with like a mad red like square-y swizzle thing in it, which was exactly the same as Real Madrid's goalkeeper kit, like exactly the same. That stupid. And my dad hates Adidas, which is always funny because he just like three stripes and everything, whereas I love three stripes. I'm a big convert. Let's see if we can get one more question in before we go. Random one, and this might not be the last question. With all talks of alternative signings, should LFC scouting department be heading to the crazy house? Do we need more goths in the squad? No. But I think they should just go to the crazy house for a mad night out, a bit of a team bonding exercise.
Yeah, if it's good, still. I mean, the last time I went, I fell down the stairs on my birthday, didn't I?
Yeah, it was a long while ago.
Yeah, it was a while. I think that might be me.
Back in the day.
30th. Maybe something like that. We used to go three times a week, maybe.
It was like, well, there was a period where we went through because it was 2-for-1, was two bottles of Nuki Brown. Could do, yeah. A bottle of Newcastle Brown will last you. Where, boss, to Jack informs it still is. That's sad. I still won't be going. But ever since you couldn't smoke in there, it made a massive difference because it just started to smell like it actually smelled like.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Feet desperation.
Do you remember what Joe did to me in the crazy house toilet? So I used to wear my baggy jeans and all that type of stuff. I was in there and I had a ciggy in my mouth, maybe.
Where else would it have been?
I had a cig in my mouth, I had my cock in my hand, and I had a beard in my... I had a beard in my hand, I was holding my baggy jeans up so I wasn't stood in, they went...
Piss.
They went in the piss. So I was holding my jeans there, I had my beard there, I had a cig in my mouth, and he just comes in, and he sees me, and he just puts his can of Red Stripe on my head. And I'm completely powerless to do anything, and he's just pissing himself laughing, and I can't move. I've got a fucking full can of Red Stripe balanced on my head, and I'm bladded.
That's amazing.
Twat.
Absolutely amazing. So yeah, the craziest. If those walls could talk, I would tell them to shut up. let's see. I don't think we can top that, so let's leave it there. Thanks everyone who sent the questions in at the Red Men TV on Twitter. As I say, if you want more podcasts, the match preview show, which is the build up, will be available for free, completely free podcast listen if that's what you're into. If you want more podcasts, as I say, 5 per week, at a bare minimum of 20 per month. Sometimes it'll be more, sometimes it'll be loads more. And the video version of this podcast as well is available to you if you go to theredmentv.com, £5 a month, sign up. Loads of extra things. There's an interview I did with Stephen Gerrard on there, which is very good, very interesting. He talks about, I give him some advice on what it's like to have a little boy and all the toys you can buy. And he brought up He-Man, which is hilarious. Don't think you'll see that on many other interviews. So yeah, get on that. Thank you very much for listening, Reds. We will be we're doing this ad nauseum forever and ever and ever, so enjoy. Any feedback you can leave, ratings, etc. on iTunes, please do that. 5-star ratings always make us look good.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But tell your friends, thank you very much, and walk on.